needed. Hear the word of the Lord. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, on this wonderful resurrection day, on this Easter Sunday, when all around the world Christians rejoice in the truth that you have risen indeed, hallelujah. Lord, may we not be burdened by the fears of this life. May we not be burdened by the troubles, the anxieties, the things that seem so insurmountable that we forget who we are as resurrection people. Lord, we have the power of the resurrection. This is most certainly true. May we live as people who know that you can remove all obstacles, that you have taken everything, all our burdens, all our cares, all our anxieties, everything, all our sins, all our stuff upon the cross. And when you said it is finished, you meant it. Lord, may we today know that we can begin again, new, children of the living God, changed, transformed, alive, celebrating the truth that you are alive and well and at work among us. Thank you, Jesus. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Who will roll the stone away? It's a big stone. It's a heavy stone. It's a very large stone. Who's going to roll it away? Are you? Yeah. Took two men to roll it into place, but to roll it out of place, you got to go uphill. And it's a large stone. And there's carts. And it's been a tough day, a tough night. It's been a hard time. The one they loved died on the cross, was abandoned, betrayed, killed. And now they're going out early in the morning with their spices to anoint their loved one. And just like we who live in this world are burdened by things that happen to us, right? How many of us have felt betrayed? How many of us have been hurt? How many of us have struggled with sin and weaknesses? Yeah. They can get us to a place where we can't see anything but the obstacles. Can we be like Mary and Mary and Salome and be thinking like, who's going to move that stone? Because it's big. I like the way Mark puts it there. He says, it's a large stone. Just in case you were wondering. How many of us have large stones in our life that seem like they're too big for us to deal with? I do. Things that I just keep, you know, I think... This is how I think of it. And I don't know if I'm wrong, but I think it's kind of like we think we can handle it on our own, and so we start chiseling away at it. And we think we make progress when we just chisel a little bit of a way. But then we look, you know, we're so intent on just trying to chisel away, and then we back up and we see how big the stone is. And we made like that much of a difference. You see, they were anxious. Who would roll that stone away? Who's going to move the stone? And I don't know about you, but whenever I think about those things in my life that are obstacles, I think if only they were removed, my life would be changed. Dramatically changed. If I don't know how you were as a teenager, but I would often get into trouble. Hard to imagine, right? And when I would get into trouble, have you ever bargained with God? Oh, you guys are so much better than I am. I would always bargain with God, you know? If you let me get out of this, I will be in church. And because I had to, you know, my dad had a rule, if you lived under his roof, you had to be in church. That wasn't really that hard. But I'd have to say to God, I'd say, you know what? I'll not only be in church, but I'll listen. I'll try hard. If you get me out of this mess, I'll change. I will. You never did that? Wow. Yeah. And how quickly I forgot when I got out of it. How quickly I forgot the bargain I made. Isn't that the way it is? One guy was telling me, and I was at a conference not too long ago, and he was telling me about the situation where he was like, this is back when he was a young person, and he was had a really big insurance bill on his car. And I guess he was driving, he exited off of 94 someplace where it goes like from 70 to like 30 miles per hour. You get off on this side road, like a service road. And he said he was driving along and he had this, you know, he was a young person, he had this huge insurance bill, and he said he drove off and all of a sudden he saw these lights behind him. I think it was a single light, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, he was telling the story and I was trying to listen intently, but my mind wanders. But anyways, the point that he was trying to make was he was really upset. People that have those lights, they should appreciate how upset people get when those lights come on. Not looking at anybody in particular. But anyway. But you know, when the lights come on, it upsets people. And you know, he says, I remember praying to God that I would just get a warning. I remember saying, Lord, I can't afford any more insurance. I just need a warning. He was kind of mad because he thought that there should have been a bigger sign or less dramatic change. And you know, he thought, well, his first reaction was, I thought I could argue my way out of this. And he said, I already learned that wasn't very good. Kind of like with God, it doesn't really work that well. Then he said, I can plead for mercy. And he said, you know what? He said, I prayed and I got off with a warning. He said, but you know, it didn't take but a day and I was back to doing the same thing I did before. He said, the problem with, and it reminded me, the problem with bargaining with God is, what do we do when we get the answer? Does it really change us? Because what happened as they were walking from their home in that room locked for fear, as they took the boldness to walk out into the garden, to the tomb, and as they're going towards the tomb, and they're asking and they're anxious and they're saying, who will roll the stone away? What did they find? It's already gone. Yes, the angel did. The stone's already moved. Now, shouldn't that have given them confidence? How many of you are saying, if it was me, man, I would be bold after that. You know, it's kind of like when you ask God for a sign and he gives it to you and you say, well, just a coincidence. Right? Yeah, you've been there. Right? I mean, how many of us, if we were anxious about something and God removed the obstacle, would say, yes, that would change my life. But did it change them? Not only that, but when they get to the tomb, they look in Jesus is gone. So the stone wasn't necessary for Jesus. He's already gone. The stone was moved for them so they could get in and see. And when they get in and they see, they also have someone in there. And what does he say? Yes. Who are you looking for? He's risen. But what else does he say? Do not be afraid. Now let's see. You're anxious about the stone. That's the obstacle. You know, you're trying to figure it out, right? God moves the stone, okay? Because our God is capable of doing that, right? No problem here. Our God is capable of moving the obstacles, okay? Moves the obstacles. Then he sends you a messenger who says, do not be afraid. To throw into this mix, it's an angel, right? He's an angel. And he says, do not be afraid. Now, if I were them, and I was worried about the stone, and I was worried about the obstacles, and I was fearful, and I was afraid, and God moved the stone and sent a messenger to say, do not be afraid, do you think that it might change my life? It should. But what does Mark say? Did it change their life? I mean, this sounds so funny because it says, you know, I just love the way that our, you know, the pericopes are picked and chosen and then put in there. And then I always love it when it gets to the end of it. And it says, this is the gospel of our Lord. And you go, really? That's good news? Yeah, sure. Because what does it say at the end of the gospel? Lesson today. They were afraid. And they did what? They did not tell anyone. Brothers and sisters, let us not be like those individuals who went to the tomb. Now, I'm not trying to be hard on them, okay? Because they haven't received the Holy Spirit yet. They're going to get breathed on the Holy Spirit tonight, and then on Pentecost, they're going to get the Holy Spirit, going to get hold of them, and you won't be able to stop them from talking, okay? But I just want you to understand, at this point in their life, they're like a lot of us. They prayed because they were concerned. They were anxious. They said, you know, these things are obstacles. The Lord removes the obstacles. And what happens? Does it change things? No, it doesn't. Not in this gospel. Now, if you look at John's gospel, it changes everything. In John's gospel, Mary gets to see the Lord, and it changed everything. If you read on in Mark, if you read on in this gospel, Mary does experience Mary Magdalene does get to experience Jesus. So, and Jesus appears to the disciples. So it's not like it should stop there. It just happens to stop there today. But I want to ask the question, do we act like these women? Do we act like these disciples? Do we say, Lord, remove these obstacles? And when he removes the obstacles, we're still sitting there going, was it coincidence or was it God? Because I have good news for you. Our God is removing obstacles in your life and wants to desperately remove even more obstacles in your life each and every day. Isn't that the truth? Our God wants to remove anything that keeps you from experiencing what he has for you. As a matter of fact, Easter for us is a life-changing, a love-changing, and an eternity-changing experience. It's life-changing because Jesus is alive. He appears to Mary. He appears to the disciples. He appears to the 500. He appears to Paul. We already said that at the beginning of service, right? It's amazing. And it's life-changing. Because the truth that our God can move the stone is life-changing. Because there's no obstacle bigger than he can handle. There's nothing that can come up against us that he can't handle. He's defeated Satan on the cross. When he said it is finished, Satan's done. Our simple human nature, we got to deal with it until we get to the end. But at the end, we win because he won. You see, the amazing thing about Easter is that no matter what obstacle we think is in the way, our Lord can remove the obstacle. I thought it was really interesting. Andrew Murray said this. A dead Christ, I must do everything for. A living Christ does everything for me. We live post-resurrection. We are resurrection people. The power of the resurrection changes our lives each and every day and allows us to be able to confess boldly the truth that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, and it is indeed eternally life-changing. It is. And even more so, it's love-changing. What I mean by that is that it reminds us that Jesus loved us so much to die for us. The God that we serve, our Father, loved us so much that he was willing to send his son to die for us so that we can understand what true love is. See, there's this idea of love out there that is just so frustrating when you look at the Bible. Because the Bible says that love and truth equals grace. We talked about this before, right? Love plus truth equals grace. Jesus did not want those women who were out at the tomb to stay there afflicted with fear and seized by anxiety. He didn't want to go up to them and say, "You're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, great." Because that's love, right? I love you, you love me, we all love each other, praise God, yeah, you know. Isn't that the kind of love that people are talking about all the time? That's not the love that Jesus had. The love that Jesus had put him on the cross. The love that Jesus had kept him there. The love that Jesus had put him in the tomb. The love that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. The love that Jesus had tells people the truth and does not enable them to stay where they are, but tells them he's got greater things in store for them than they ever even imagined or dreamed. That's the type of love that our God has for us, isn't it? We always use the words belong, believe, become. We belong to God. That's a fact. He died for us. That's a fact. We believe in him because we trust in him. That's a fact. But to become who God wants us to be means he doesn't want to leave us where we are. He wants the power of the resurrection to change our lives. So when we love someone, we're not willing to say, you can stay where you are, because is that what he said to the woman caught in adultery? He said, just go back and do what you were doing before. You're loved. Isn't that the loving thing to do? Why would you want someone to change who they are? How mean is that? That's not loving. That's what modern people say, right? But love plus truth equals grace. And what Jesus does is he says, God has great plans in store for you. Go and sin no more. Same thing he says to the women. Go and tell. Go and share. Let people know. The power of the resurrection is love-changing, it's life-changing, and it's eternal perspective change. The power of the resurrection changes lives. It allows us to understand that we serve a God who can move the stone. He can remove the obstacles. He's done it all. There's nothing more to be done. When he said it is finished, he meant it. Everything has been paid. The obstacles that are in our lives, we like to keep them there because it's kind of a security for us. And yet he says, I want you to be more than you can even imagine. He loves us enough to tell us the truth and say, if you just get over these things, if you just confess these things, I want to forgive you, I want to set you free and put you on a new path. Our God is a God who wants to change us. And he sees us for whom he wants us to be, as he wants us to be. That's the truth of the resurrection. So I have a video that I thought was really cute that I wanted to remind us of how we should be on Easter Sunday, because for us, Resurrection Sunday is life-changing, isn't it? It is an eternal perspective change. When we hear of people being slaughtered in Kenya, when we hear of people being slaughtered for their faith around the world, being martyred, it should excite us, even though it's a very sad and atrocious thing. We should be excited because for them, it means eternal life. For them, it means that their perspective is not just one that holds on to this world, but it means for us eternal life. When we leave this world, we go to be with the Lord forever. The ones who really suffer are the ones who are left behind. For us, when we die, it means we go to be with the Lord. That's the truth of the resurrection, isn't it? That's the power of Easter. That's what we live for. That's the truth of what happened in the tomb, in the empty tomb. May we be so bold as to say, our God can move the stones. Our God can move the obstacles. He's done it. It's all done. So may we be his people, enthusiastic, entheos, God in us. May we move those things in our lives, and may we ask the Lord to show us how we can share the truth of the resurrection in our lives. We are, I guess, the problem I'm having is I keep wanting to go back because in the morning service, I talked about the words that Mary was told to say, I have seen the Lord. And I keep thinking, we cannot leave, as Christians, we cannot leave without saying, I have seen the Lord. We cannot, isn't that who we are? Isn't that what we believe? And we see the Lord in his word. We see the Lord in his sacraments. We see the Lord in his church, in his people. We see the Lord when we say these are obstacles, but the Lord has the power to remove the obstacles. He's done the work. It's finished. So may we be enthusiastic about the truth of the resurrection today. And let's watch the video. And I hope that you have the same response as I did. This is what I'd like us all to be like today.